This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, can you talk about how different this movie is, and based on, I mean, your visual idea and your, you know, compared to the old...
Oh, do you go Ang Lee's version?
Right. You want to definitely go to a different way, and visually it's very different to start with.
First of all, I love Ang's movie. I really do love Ang's movie, because as a director, as all of you guys, you've seen the cinema in Ang's movie. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a great movie. But, you know, if you're 7 years old, 8 years old, you're totally lost in Ang's movie. So I wanted to give it like some more of like a, you know, an overall approach. You don't have to be a fan knowing the Hulk story to love this movie, hopefully my movie, or to be 7 and 13 and a boy to like this movie. I wanted to make it like, you know, a broader kind of like, you know, general, more general kind of a movie. And that's what I did. My way to do this, I don't know where you guys are from. I'm from France, and comic books were, I mean, American comic books and Hulk superhero Hulk comic books were not distributed so widely in France. What was very wide was the TV show. And when they called me and they offered me the job, I was like, hold on, no, I don't know the Hulk that much, that well. Ang Lee, I'm really afraid. And on the flight back to France, I thought about it and I was like, you know what I really loved when I was young? The TV show. Why? Because it was very human. That's it. Very simple. It was the simple story of a man who has a problem, who goes from, you know, who's chased. It was a fugitive story. He's chased from town to town, tries to get his life back together, tries to cure himself, you know, get rid of his thing. And definitely throughout the seasons, he's discovering the hero within, that this thing inside him is maybe not bad and maybe good. So that was the very simple emotional approach I took. You know, that's what I did. But I didn't want to make it different per se. I really didn't want to make it different. I wanted to make it complementary. You know, the two movies being, you know, Ang's movie is really Ang's movie, and some people, myself being part of them, really love it. I don't want to serve them the same thing, but in a different way, the same kind of dish, but like reheated with like different, you know, camera stuff, different actors. I wanted to, you know, that's why the movie doesn't start in the beginning. It starts where he already has this. It's not the sequel. It's kind of a reboot, but not really. It's a, you know, another director's version of the Hulk. That's it.
I heard that the beginning sequence, which is incredibly well cut.
Oh, thanks. That I didn't do it. That's why.
I heard that went through a lot of different versions to find that beginning. So could you talk a little bit about the challenge of that montage at the beginning?
Mm-hmm. The way we were doing it was, at first, was through flashbacks. So you were starting the sequence. I mean, the movie was starting and you'll get to see this. I mean, when the articles come out, you'll see this. There's another scene prior to what you saw. There's a scene where you see Bruce Banner walking into the Arctic, and that scene is going to be shown on the internet next week. Starting Thursday, you see Banner walking. I mean, you see a shadow, you know, a guy getting dropped into the Arctic, walking. Drops to his knees, looks up, pulls up his mask. It's Edward Norton, Bruce Banner, with a heavy beard. Looks tired, depressed. You know, I mean, it's a few months after the incident. Pulls out a gun and tries to commit suicide, and the Hulk saves him. So the Hulk saves his life. So it's you know, Banner hits Hulk, and Hulk is Banner. The movie was starting like this, and then afterwards we were flash-forwarding to, you know, to Brazil. He was in Brazil a few years later, getting his life, you know, trying to find a cure and everything. And then afterwards you were getting flashbacks. That's the way the screenplay was structured. Then you were getting flashbacks to tell you the story. I mean, everything you saw in the credit sequence, you were getting all these flashbacks. We screened this movie. People hated it. I mean, they, like, hated it. They were like, what the hell is this? Is this a sequel? Is this a reboot? We don't understand anything. They liked the action at the end. I mean, they liked all that stuff. But, like, the beginning was very confusing. They didn't know what was happening. So we said, oh, well, you know, I actually made the decision. I said, I don't want to truncate the Arctic sequence and make it, like, some kind of, like, you know, nothing flashback dream within the credit sequence. Let's take this sequence out. Let's put it on the internet so we can have, like, a real life, like a viral life, like on HD, you know, like a beautiful, you know, HD QuickTime so you can actually have the full movie experience. Let's take all the flashbacks and let's make it like a backstory that starts the movie. Really fast paced, so you catch up really quickly, you get tons of information, lots of Easter eggs, you know, the Easter eggs, you know, that you saw, the Nick Fury, all that stuff. You put it in there, and then you stop, and then you it's almost like, it's too much for the audience, but it's also too much for Bruce Banner. That's why he stops the Metro and like tries to control. I love this credit sequence. I didn't do it. I was like, I don't know how to do that. And I called Cal Cooper, who's this amazing credit sequence guy. He did all the Spider-Man credit sequence, the Marvel logo, and he did the set, you know, Seven, the David Fincher's credit sequence. So I called him. I was like, Cal, help. Here's all my shit. Do something good with it. And he made something amazing with it.
Why the favelas?
Because we needed somewhere where, in the world where Bruce Banner could get lost, you know. The favelas are this, I don't know if you've been, but yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, it's like, it actually is beautiful. It's like quite clean and everything. I was surprised. I thought I would go and have like, you know, dirt and human feces up to my knees. But no, it's really clean. They have cable. It's crazy, but still, yeah. And I wanted like a place where you could get lost, where it's a little bit on the fringe of the law. There's lots of people, you know, piled up and everything. I was thinking about Asia. I was actually thinking about Hong Kong at first, but then I heard that Batman was going to do it there. So I was like, no, let's not do all sorts of, let's go in the favelas. And it took a lot of time to convince Marvel and American Studio to go to Brazil, because for them, Brazil is like, you know, no man, nowhere land, no man's land. They're like, we're going to get shot at. It's like, no, let me go first with my little crew and everything. And the guys, they were so nice. And we brought back some video images. They're like, it's nice, you know, you won't get, you know, you can bring actors, it'd be fine. So we had protection, but nothing happened. So I really wanted, you know, a sea of humanity. And you see that first shot, that's not CG, that's like the real deal. That's my helicopter flying over it for like 2 minutes. That thing is huge. It's like Rocinha, the favela where that first shot, you know, opens. That's 300,000 people living in this, you know, town.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So I had, you know, this movie is amazing, but, you know, huge movie. But how different were you, you know, or how challenged were you to direct this size of the movie, you know, compared with.
For me, it's really not different. It really is not different. You know why? Because most of the budget goes into visual effects. So the actual tools that I had to shoot the movie were pretty much the same. You know, the actors are a little bit more expensive, then the visual effects are more expensive. But the actual money that I had to shoot my movie was pretty much the same. A little bit more. I mean, you know, I could have techno cranes and new stuff that I love my toys. I love to use lots of weird cameras. So I was like, I'm going to put all that money into making it look very good. But, you know, it's not like I took a huge salary. The DP had a huge salary. It was pretty much the same thing that I always know, except you had the big chunk in the beginning with the actors and the big chunk at the end with the visual effects. That's it, you know. It's pretty much the same. It doesn't change at all. You still struggle. You know, you have to finish the day because the producers are like, yeah, you better finish the day or you're going to get fired. No, I mean, you know, it's always the same thing. You still have the same problems. And you know what? It's funny. It's like, you, $150 million doesn't buy you anything in Hollywood. It's horrible. You're like, I'm poor. I just have $150 million. I feel really bad, especially with these kind of movies. You're like, oh my God, I just have $150. Batman is like $300 million. Indy was like three or something, $250 or three. You know, it's really, you know, $150 is not a lot these days, especially with the dollar being so low. It's like we went to Canada, we were like, yeah, Canada. And then the dollar went, like every day we were losing stuff. I was like, yeah, no. I was, for the first time in my life, I was actually looking at, you know, Yahoo Finance to see, you know, what I could afford. It's like, okay, I just lost another two visual effects shots.
Can you tell whose decision was to let out this trailer spoilers with the scene, the fighting scene between Hulk and Abomination?
It's all Universal. I mean, if it was up to me, I would keep everything and just let people, you know, discover the thing. It's just, you know, it's their way. It's just, I think I have to defend them because this movie is really complicated. This is a movie that everybody's going to compare. They're going to compare it to Aang's movie, and they're going to compare it to Iron Man and to Batman and everything. This is the movie that everybody's like, you know, we've been everybody's punching ball for like 2 years. Like, people have been like, okay, here he comes. Let's see another Hulk failure. And then so they were like, no, actually, it's really... And then, you know, we started showing Universal the cut, and they were like, it's actually good, you know, and they were really happy. So maybe they went a little bit too broad with the stuff. But, like, I'm thinking... The fans, myself, you guys, we're looking out for this kind of stuff. But, like, the general public, you really have to reach out to them and say and throw them a lot of stuff for them to actually catch a little glimpse and then afterwards look for other stuff. So maybe there's too much stuff on the internet. To my taste, there's a little bit too much. But there's so much more in the movie, so I'm okay with it. So and that's why I want to do that thing with the Arctic. It's like, that's something that no one will have seen, no one will do. That's, like, new stuff. It's like... Actually, he stole it from Chris Nolan. It's like all these viral campaign on Batman is great. So I was like, oh, that's smart. Okay, I'm gonna do that. No, actually, I took it from Wes Anderson from Darjeeling Express. The Darjeeling Express did something like this.
You recently did an interview where you said that in Iron Man there is a Captain America shield.
Yeah.
But in our movie we have Captain America.
Wait, that's crazy. Did I say that?
You did say that. And so okay. There's been a lot of... I looked online, many people are talking about
it. I knew. I was like, I threw one like this. I was like, yeah, let's see how many people... Okay.
So is Captain America in the movie as an Easter egg?
Yes.
Could you be a little more specific?
No, I can't. Otherwise, it's not fun. You're crazy. It's an Easter egg.
But is it like a throwaway gag, or is it a real kind of a thing?
It's an Easter egg. It's not like, oh, it's Captain America and it changes everything. It's still a Hulk movie, but it's real Captain America. It's there. You know. You'll see. It's the real deal. We have to look for it.
When did you shoot the Iron Man sequence? The Robert Downey Jr. sequence?
It was the last thing we shot. It was
Was it always going to be in the movie?
No, I begged Kevin Feige, all the president of Marvel, everybody. I was like, when I knew that Robert got cast, I was like, we have to do crossovers. Crossovers are, it's the future of movie making. Now that you have this, I was the one to beg them to do crossovers. And then they said, you know, Robert, it's going to be tough to convince him, all that stuff and everything. So eventually, I got to talk to Robert and you know, we liked each other. And he said, okay, I'll come for, you know, I've got 5 hours that day. It's shooting in LA. We're on the way back from Brazil, about to go to the North Pole to shoot the opening sequence. But one day in LA, actually, Iron Man was doing lots of reshoot. They reshot like 2 weeks or something, and they had like half a day where they could give us half a day. So I just directed Iron Man crew for one day. I brought William Hurt that day, and that was it. You know, it was great. It was fantastic.
I have to ask you, there's been a lot of talk about the two different cuts that exist on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the DVD is going to have more footage.
Yeah.
So could you talk about what was cut out of the film? Like, is there 15 minutes?
If with, you know, the final cut, like the final way of me cutting the thing, maybe there's like, yeah, 10 to 15 minutes of stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff, like, you know, on the Blu-ray, I think we'll have 70 minutes of stuff and everything. 70.
Ooh.
70.
Yeah, because you shoot a lot of stuff, yeah. What's another feature? But yeah, but that's what's great. It's like, you know, it's the backstory. It's the sequel to an Ang Lee movie.
I have to ask you. So the Blu-ray, so the DVD just has a little bit.
No, it's whatever we can put on the DVD. You know, it's like DVDs. You have 3 hours of footage and stuff. The Blu-ray, you have so many. You have 100 hours. So if they do a double DVD, but like the Blu-ray is what's gonna, you know, be good. So on the Blu-ray, I'm trying to put as much of the stuff. I want to put everything we shot, you know. I'm not the kind of guy that, you know, likes to keep the stuff for myself. I'm like, okay, you student filmmakers, financial, here's what I did right and here's what I did wrong. And in some of the stuff, in the 70 minutes, there's some great stuff and there's some really horrible stuff. You'll see it all, you know.
What about behind the scenes material?
There's like tons of stuff, like great stuff. That actually, right. I saw that. It's like, no, that's actually much longer. You've got 3 hours of material, how we made Hulk and everything. That's great stuff, yeah.
Getting into the 70, is it all character stuff? Is it...
Oh, there's action stuff, there's everything. We cut everything. We give it a nice haircut like yours.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to do the follow-up. Obviously, Edward has been, was vocal a little while ago, uh-huh, about wanting a more character. There was a lot of debate online.
No, I know what you're saying.
And so what was he looking for versus what was put out?
I think he was looking for... I think what happened... No, but I'll tell you what happened exactly, because I knew the timing exactly. You know, when you do your first movie, you do an assembly. You do everything that you've shot, you put it into an assembly. Then that assembly, you screen it. And it's called a suicide run because it's absolutely horrible. You want to commit suicide after you've seen it. You're like, oh, I wasted 2 years of my life, $150 million. This is the worst movie ever. I'm like a terrible director. You cannot act. You're a terrible producer. So, and after this, we had a meeting just like this, like a round table. We're like, okay, we have to find solutions. And then we're screaming stuff and everything. And maybe somebody walked in, a PA, somebody who's not used to it. And we're, you know, having a conversation. And Edward was like, you know, Edward's very vocal. Like, come on, man. You know, and he's not arguing. That's how Edward is. I mean, I'm sure you guys have met him. You know, he'll be like, and the guy walks in and he's like, okay, Edward Norton is arguing about the cut and everything. And he walks out, he's like, they're arguing. The next day, when the Nicky Finke article came out, Edward was right next to me. He's like, you want to laugh? I'm like, yeah, what's up? Read this. I was like, oh, shit, you know? But I thought it was like, I thought it would blow over. I was like, yeah, okay, well, it's like the same thing. You see, you know, Britney Spears and everything. I was like, okay, funny. It's like, you know, TMZ.com. I didn't care. I was like, okay, cool. And then we kept on cutting. And then he became bigger and bigger. And then people were calling me. And then Universal were calling because, you know, Marvel was independent. But Universal was like, yeah, everything's okay and everything. I was like, yeah, Edward's right here next to me. Talk to Edward. Hey, man, yeah, we cool. It was a little argument. Then Edward... Because he finished, he was an actor. He had written a couple of versions of the screenplay. Then he moved on. He did his thing. It just blew over. Everybody was really surprised. And Edward was like, yeah, it must have been a slow week in Hollywood if I'm like if I become the Britney Spears of Hollywood. So it's just
so that was it.
That was it. It was. We had to kill babies. We killed some of my babies, some of his babies. Like in the 70-minute scene, you'll see a scene that was actually in the trailer where you see the Ty Burrell character having a nice introspective talk with Edward. But you saw the movie, guys. You know, it's the moment where, you know, he spends the night with Betty and then she has a boyfriend and then they talk together. And then, you know, it's everything you know. It's like, you know, it was a long scene to give us an excuse to get that cool punchline that was given in the trailer. Like, you know. You know, you've never seen something. You know, maybe you should see a shrink. And he says, "No, you haven't seen a patient like me or something like that." You know, just for one punchline, a long scene like that, we're like, "Okay, maybe we don't need that." And just he kept the story moving forward. And the problem with that suicide run, that suicide cut, was that it was a lot of stops, like go and stops, and go and stops, and go and stops. Just the way I described it to you, you know, the Arctic scene, stop, credit sequence, go, Brazil, stop. Transformation. Go and stop. It didn't feel like a good fugitive movie, like The Bourne Supremacy, like The Fugitive with Harrison Ford. These movies keep on going; they never stop, you know. And we had to find something like this, and it takes time to do that, you know. Next time I'll know, you know, when I do the first screening. First of all, don't do your meeting right after it because everybody was like, oh, I fucking hate you. You know? Do it a couple of days after, and then do it behind closed doors because no one can understand that. It's really tough. You become really emotional. It's 2 years of your life. It's your own thing. It's like, you know, keep it for yourself. I'll learn.
So silly question. What do you think will take to kill Hulk?
Not a lot. He almost dies in our movie, right? He's kind of a weak bastard. No. I think his weak thing is that he's got too big of a heart. So I think he's demise. And I think actually in the comic book, that's, you know, it's his heart. You know, he's too kind. He's too nice of a superhero. So, and that's the downfall of all superheroes. Their feelings bring them down. That's all.
And what was Edward's input on the actual shooting script? How much of his stuff is in there still?
The dialogue is definitely his. You know, changing of polarity. Like for example, the boyfriend, the Ty Burrell character, was like he was a bastard at first, and now he's like a nice guy that kind of makes a mistake. It was really good. Edward is really good with shades of gray, not making things black and white, which sometimes, most of the times, the superhero movies have, you know, the really bad guys and really good guys. It was really good with the shades of gray. His input was tremendous on this matter.
I know you just wrapped.
Last question.
I know you just wrapped the film, but I have to ask. What do you have coming up? Are you going to jump right back into another superhero? Or are you?
No. I actually, for the first time in my life, and it's not. It's not crap. I don't know what I'm doing next. Just because, like you said, I just rap. I was like in pose forever, and I was like so into it. I was literally working 20-hour days, and sometimes I was not. I don't know if it's in the. I haven't read this, but sometimes I was not sleeping for a week. Like not sleeping for a week. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. It makes you crazy. Like on Diet Coke and Red Bull, I was like, just because there was so much work. So I haven't had time to read anything that I liked. And also with the strike, it's kind of weird. Like there's nothing happening. People are sort of like stopped. And you're like, okay, let's see. You know, so we'll see. And also, you know, like you, everybody's like. Still think they don't know if it's gonna be a good movie or not. So yesterday that was good because lots of movie exec came to see the movie and they were like, "This actually is good. It's a good movie." I was like, "Oh, thank you."
Roger Corman loved your movie.
Oh, did he? Oh, really?
I talked with him after we were walking after the movie.
Oh yeah.
And he said it's 2 thumbs.
Oh, that's what I want to work with.
I have to do one quick follow up. Okay. Comic Con's coming up in July. Okay. Obviously, you might go down there for Hulk. Do you think Do you think there's any chance of you showing some of those deleted scenes you talked about the 70 minutes at Comic-Con as like a reward?
Yeah, yeah. Guys, do not do this. And action.
No, but I'm being serious. That might be a really nice treat for the fans.
That'd be nice. Yeah, we'll see. It's just I tell you, it's not that interesting. I mean, it's interesting. The only the good stuff is in the movie. We just took out the bad stuff. That's why we didn't take out any of the bad the good stuff. Otherwise, it would be a shame. I really swear.
But for Comic,
thanks guys. I gotta take him.
But for Comic, no, I see. Yeah,
cool. Congrats. Congrats. Congrats.
Right, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Sequel, maybe. We'll know on Saturday.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Next project.